is good to be back with my friends at the Versailles Baptist Church. I always am excited about the opportunities that I have to come and share with you. I have three kids. I have three children. I have a daughter, and I have a son, and then I have another daughter. And my son, they're all grown. All three of my children are grown, and so they're all out doing their own thing. But when my son was in the sixth grade, he wanted to be in the band at his school. And so we went to the instrument store, the music store, and he picked out an instrument, and he said, "This is the instrument I wanted to play." And so he was in the band, but it was a very simple situation. They practiced at school. They had a period during the day, which was band, and so he practiced at school. And then they would do about two concerts a year, usually at Christmas and then usually in the spring right before school was out, they would do a concert. So band was easy. This went on in the sixth grade, seventh grade, same thing. They would practice during the day. Then they would do a couple of concerts a year. And me and my wife were thinking, wow, this is going to be easy. This is going to be really, really easy, this band stuff. Well, then he got in high school. And wow, did it change. When he got in high school, not only did they practice during the school day, they practiced after school. And not only did they practice after school, they practiced during the summer. When school was supposed to be out, they were practicing in 95-degree weather on blacktop. And then, not only that, were they practicing during the summer, they had a two-week summer band camp where they were practicing every day for 2 weeks for 8 hours. Every day. And not only that, every Saturday morning, we were getting up at 5 o'clock to get my son to the band room by 6 o'clock so they could get on a bus, and they traveled all over Indiana going to competitions, and many times they would not even get home until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. He went from band to hardcore. Amen? He went to hardcore band. At least that's what I told him. I said, "Man, what happened to the 6th grade? What happened to the 7th grade and the 8th grade?" I said, "Man, you went from band to hardcore." And that's what it was. It was very, very hardcore. This morning, I would like to direct your attention to Ezekiel chapter 4. Ezekiel chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. And the Bible says, "As for you," this is God speaking to Ezekiel. He says, "As for you, lie down on your left side and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel on it. You shall bear their iniquity for the number of days that you lie on it. For I have assigned you a number of days corresponding to the years of their iniquity. 390 days. Everybody say 390 days. How long is 390 days? A year and a month, exactly right. That's how long it was. It was a year and a month. He says, 390 days, thus you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. When you have completed these, you shall lie down a second time, but on your right side, and bear the iniquity of the house of Judah. I have assigned it to you for 40 days, a day for each year." So God comes to Ezekiel, and he tells Ezekiel to lie down on his left side. So Ezekiel is going to lie down on his left side for how long? How long?
390 days.
Are you serious? 390 days Ezekiel is going to have to lay on his left side. So after he lays on his left side for how long?
390 days.
What happens after that? Okay, and how long does he have to lay on his right side?
40 days.
Thank the Lord. Amen? Now, folks, that's hardcore Christianity. That is hardcore Christianity. When you stop and you think about it, God is asking Ezekiel to do something hard. God was saying to Ezekiel, I want you to show my people what their sin means, and I want you to lay down. Now, I laid down on this real soft, wonderful carpet that you have in your church. Ezekiel wasn't laying down on real soft, wonderful, hard carpet in a church. I believe he was probably in the city square in the dirt. On the hard dirt, he was laying there, and the Lord said, I want you to lay on your left side for 390 days to show the people what their sin means to me. Folks, that's hardcore. That's hardcore. Now, Ezekiel did exactly what God asked him to do. What I want to share with you this morning is hardcore Christianity, radical Christianity, fanatical Christianity, because I really believe we don't see that many radical Christians today. Not trying to be negative, but I don't think we see that many radical Christians today. I don't believe that we see that many hardcore Christians today. I fear that today in the society that we live in today, we live in a society of convenience Christian. Convenient Christians. We like a Christianity today where things are easy, and they're easy to do. And if God would have said to Christians today, I want you to lay down on your left side for 390 days, we would say, boy, I just don't think I'm going to be able to make that, God. Don't think I'm going to be able to make that. I mean, you know, I've got my golf thing I got to do, and I've got my, stuff that I got to do at home, and my favorite TV shows are going to be on. Boy, I just don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. Isn't that what we do? Isn't that what we do? God wants us to do something, and instead of just saying, yes, God, I'll do it, that would be radical, wouldn't it? That would be fanatical, wouldn't it? Boy, we don't want a bunch of fanatical Christians running around, right? Boy, we don't want to do that. God said something hardcore to Ezekiel, and Ezekiel said, God, I'll do it. I'll do it, God. Radical Christians are Christians that say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. Just tell me. Boy, that's radical, isn't it? That's fanatical. That's hardcore. But I believe God's looking for some hardcore Christians today. I really do. I believe that God is looking around in your church and in my church and in all the churches in our area, and he's saying, are there any hardcore Christians left? Are there any radical Christians left? Are there any fanatical Christians left? What would he say? What would he find? Would he find a group of Christians that would be willing to say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, even if you want me to lay down on my side for 390 days, I'll do it. I'll do, God, whatever you want me to do. I was out visiting not too long ago, and I was visiting this family and trying to encourage them to come to church. And they said, well, tell me, Pastor, what time does your church start? And I said, our church starts Sunday school at 9:30, church at 10:30. Boy, I don't know if we're going to be able to do that or not. That's awfully early for us. We don't usually get up that early on a Sunday morning. That's going to be kind of tough. That's going to be a little bit hard. Why don't you have church about 1 o'clock after lunch? Why don't you have church about 2 o'clock? I think we could do that. Could you imagine Ezekiel laying on his side for 390 days? If somebody would have walked up to Ezekiel and said, you know what, Ezekiel? I think your church starts too early. You think Ezekiel would have just taken the hand and just smacked him? You think he would have done that? I don't know. Ezekiel was a hardcore Christian. He was willing to do whatever God asked him to do. But yet sometimes we say, God, that's too much. 9:30 is too early, God. 10:30 is too early. Let's make it later. And our Christianity tends to evolve into a Christianity a convenience. Everybody say convenience. Convenience. Is anybody here old enough like me to remember when convenience stores first came on the scene? Anybody? You remember the convenience store? See, when I was growing up, they were gas stations. When I was growing up, they were filling stations. And then all of a sudden, one day, they took my corner gas station, they took my corner filling station, and they started putting groceries in them. And I'm going, are you people nuts? What are you doing here? This is my gas station. Why are you putting groceries? And then what did they start calling them? Convenience stores. Wouldn't it be sad if somebody looked at our churches and started calling them convenience stores? Wouldn't it be sad? Where are the hardcore Christians today? Where are the Ezekiels today who are willing to say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it, Lord. If you want to start church at 9:30, God, I'll be there. God, if you want to start church at 8 o'clock, I'll be there. Uh-oh, now he's meddling, right? You know, it's really interesting because as a pastor, we hear stories of churches that are really doing well. And there was a story of a church out in Oklahoma. And this church out in Oklahoma was just really growing and it was just really doing well. And it was just, you know, people were just coming to this church. And so I just began to do some research on this church. And you know what I found out? I found out that this church was meeting in a barn. This church was meeting in a barn. There was no electricity in the barn. They had to meet during daylight because when it got dark, everybody just had to go home. There was no electricity. There was no air conditioning. There was no heat. And they were sitting in wooden chairs, no padded pews like we have today. But people were flocking to this church, and they were flocking to this church, and they were flocking to this church, and people were saying, what gives here? Why are you all going to this church? You've got no lights. You've got no air conditioning. You've got no conveniences. And they said, because we're here to hear God. We come here to hear the word of the Lord. We come here to connect with God. And God, what do you want to do in my life? And God, what do you want me to do with my life? And they said, that's the reason we're here. And the church began to grow, and it began to grow. And all of a sudden, it got so big that they outgrew the barn. So when they outgrew the barn, what do you think they did? Did they go build a nice big church building? Pad the pews, carpet the floors, put in air conditioning and electricity? They went and found a bigger barn. Because it's not about the conveniences. It's about hardcore Christianity. It's about radical Christianity. It's about Christians who say, I don't mind being fanatical about Jesus Christ. I don't mind being called fanatical. Now, fanatical is a word that a lot of Christians today want to stay way back from, because if you get that label as a fanatical, radical, hardcore Christian, people are going to make fun of you. Ezekiel didn't care. When Ezekiel was laying there in the dirt, he didn't care what people were saying about him. What was the only thing that mattered to Ezekiel? What God's told him to do. That was the only thing that mattered to Ezekiel. God told him to lay on his side. Ezekiel said, I'll do it. I'll do it, Lord. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I'll do it. I'll be that radical Christian. I'll be that fanatical Christian. I will be that Christian that the world can't miss. Do you think if all of us, and I'm not asking you to do this, but if all of us went down to Versailles and laid on our sides for 390 days, do you think people would notice that? Amen. They would notice that, and they would say, what are those lunatics doing? Well, we're just doing what God told us to do. We're being fanatical for the Lord. We're being radical for the Lord, and we don't mind doing it. We're happy to do it. We want to stand out. We want people to notice us for the Lord, not for ourselves, but for the Lord. We want people to notice us. I read a little story about these two men, and these two men were out fishing, and they were fishing on a Sunday of all days. And they'd fished for hours and hours and hours and hours, and they had not gotten one bite. And so one of the fishermen said to the other, he goes, you know what? I think God's trying to tell us something. We should have gone to church. And the other one said, I couldn't have gone to church anyway because my wife is at home in the bed sick. That's not very hardcore Christian, is it? Not very hardcore Christian at all. Where are the hardcore Christians in our world today? Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now folks, this is hardcore Christianity, because God asked Abram, he goes, what I want you to do is I want you to take your family, and I just want you to leave. I want you to go to a place that I'm going to show you. Now, that's hardcore. And the reason that's hardcore is because Abram has lived in this place. This is his home. This is where his family lives. This is where he's been for, you know, all these years. And now God's saying, I just want you to get up and I just want you to go. That's not an easy thing to do, is it? I mean, you got family. You got people you love. You've got people you've grown up with. You've probably got a nice house. You've probably got all these things. And God says, Abram, in other words, God was saying to Abram, what means more to you, me or your stuff? What means more to you, being obedient to what I want you to do, or all of these material things that you have on this earth? And Abram said, you know what, God, I'm going with you. I'm going with you. And Abram could have made excuses. Abram could have said, look, Lord, I've only got two more house payments. Can we wait a little while? Or Abram could have said, you know what, Lord, you know, one day Sarah's going to have a child and she's going to have a whole bunch of babysitters if we stay here. Abram didn't say that. He said, God, I'm going with you. I'm going with you, even if it means picking up everything and going. Would you say that's radical Christianity? Would you say that's fanatical Christianity? Would you say that's hardcore Christianity? Hardcore Christians. That's exactly what we need today in our world. The song that we sing in church that says, I surrender all. Familiar with that song? All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence, daily live. Say that next part with me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all. Hardcore Christianity. Hardcore Christianity. All to Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all. Everything. I surrender all to Jesus. One of the most memorable experiences of my life was several years ago when I was pastoring the Georgetown Baptist Church just across the river from Louisville, Kentucky, Billy Graham came to Louisville, Kentucky. I had never seen Billy Graham except on television. I was so excited about him coming to Louisville to be able to see him in person, and it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. He filled up that stadium every single night. In fact, he broke all attendance records of that stadium. George Strait, anybody know George Strait? George Strait, country music singer, he held the previous record at the stadium. Billy Graham came in and shattered his attendance record. Even at this time in Billy Graham's life, health was beginning to fade a bit. And so every night, when it came time for him to preach, his son, Franklin, was on the stage with him. And he was on the stage with him in case Billy Graham couldn't do it. In case Billy Graham could not preach that night, his son, Franklin, was with him so he could jump in and he could preach. I was there every night. Me and my wife, we were there every night. And when it came time for Billy Graham to get up and speak, as feeble as he was, he got up out of that chair. And he walked up to that pulpit. And he preached his heart out. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, that if you die without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will not go to heaven and you will spend eternity in hell. And he got up there and he preached as hard as he could preach, and he poured his soul out to those people in that stadium. And he didn't even have to. He was an old man. His health was failing. He could have stayed at home. He could have stayed at home. He could have said, I'm done. I've preached to millions. I'm retiring. I'm just going to stay home and I'm going to let my son Franklin preach. He didn't do that. He preached every night. He preached every night of that revival. And he preached his heart out for people to be saved. Folks, that's hardcore Christianity right there. That's radical Christianity. When you do what God asks you to do and you just do it, you just do it. You don't say, Lord, what about this? It's too early. Or, Lord, what about this? That's too much money. Or, Lord, what about this? I'm going to have to do this or I'm going to have to do that. You know, I don't want to give up a Saturday to help out with the stuff that y'all did. And I don't want to give up all this kind of stuff. You just do it because God says do it. And God wants you to do it. It was really interesting because Billy Graham drew thousands and thousands and thousands of people into that crusade. And the news people had an opportunity to talk to him. And they said to him, they said, you've got all these people there listening to you. Why don't you preach about racism? Why don't you preach about poverty? Why don't you preach about, you know, scandals? And why don't you preach about hunger, world hunger? Why don't you preach about all these worthy causes? Because you've got all of the people there to hear you preach. Why don't you preach about those things? Billy Graham says, I'll never preach on anything but Jesus Christ crucified and his death on the cross for everlasting life. Hardcore Christianity. Hardcore Christianity, all the way. You know, when God told Ezekiel to lay down on his side, and when God told Abraham to get up and leave and go to another country, when God told Billy Graham, I want you on that pulpit, I want you preaching, he said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Yes, Lord, I'll do it. And so this morning, to my congregation, to your congregation, because I'll be sharing this message with my congregation in about 10 more minutes. We got any radical Christians? Do we have any fanatical Christians? Are there any hardcore Christians in our churches today? Or are we churches of convenience? Are we Christians of convenience? I probably shouldn't tell you this story, but I guess I will anyway, because if I tell you this story and you don't like it, just tell your pastor don't ever have him back. My family, when I'm up here on the weekends, my family go to a large church, and I won't even tell you where it is because you're going to start thinking, oh, I've been to that church. I like that church. It's a church of convenience. And what I mean by it's a church of convenience, it's a church where you just show up whenever you want to show up. I mean, the preacher may already be preaching and you'll just see people coming in and taking their seats, taking their seats, taking their seats. And the preacher may be getting close to wrapping up his sermon and the people just start getting up and leaving. It's a church of convenience. They've got several areas in the church where there's this one area that has couches. It's got couches. And instead of, if you don't want to go into the sanctuary and watch the preacher live, you can sit on the couches and watch the preacher on screens. So that's the place where you can sit and check your email while the preacher's preaching. Or you can check your text while the preacher's preaching. Convenience. They've got another area in that church where it's a cafe. And if you don't want to sit and listen to the preacher preach in the sanctuary, you can go to the cafe and you can sit down and you can enjoy a sandwich and some chips while the preacher's preaching. Or, they've got another area. They got two playgrounds. And then that way, if you don't want to sit in the sanctuary with your children and listen to the message in the sanctuary, you can take your kids to the playground, and while your kids are playing on the playground, you can watch the preacher on screens. Now, don't feel like I'm putting this down. They're reaching people. They're getting people in off the streets that may not come to a traditional church. But my problem is, it's all about convenience. Do you think it was convenient for Ezekiel? Could you imagine Ezekiel laying on his side in the dirt and hearing people talk about, you know what, I'm going to go sit on a couch and watch the preacher on the screen and check my email? I think Ezekiel might have got up for 2 seconds and smacked him and then laid right back down. I don't know. Hardcore folks, radical folks, fanatical folks. That's what I believe God wants. I believe that's what God is looking for. A church, a congregation of people that'll say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Boy, wouldn't that shake up our world? Wouldn't that just shake the world up? Have a whole bunch of people say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Don't care how early it is. Don't care how long it takes. Don't care how hard the work is. One more thing, I'm going to close because I got to get out of here. Y'all didn't even know I didn't even have this many stories in my notes. I'm just kind of, the Lord's just, I'm telling you. Don't care how hard it is. When I was at Pastor in Georgetown, we started a building project. While I was there, we started a building project, and I'm the pastor, and I thought the pastor's job in a building project was to inspire the workers. I really did. I thought that was a pastor's job. Pastor's job, inspire the workers. All the workers with the hammers and the nails and the saws and the screws and all that kind of stuff, they're out there working on the building, and I'm going, good job. Y'all are doing a great job. God bless you. You're working for the Lord. This is great. The foreman of the crew that was building this thing walked over and tapped me on the shoulder. He goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm the pastor of the church. I'm encouraging the workers. He goes, no, you get up there, you get a hammer, you get a saw, you get some screws, you get up on that roof, and you start putting shingles on that roof. Boy, that's pretty hardcore, isn't it? It's pretty hardcore. It's pretty radical. People might talk about you. People might make fun of you. But we say, I don't care. The only thing that matters to me is that I please God with my life. And God, wherever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord God, we need a world full of hardcore Christians. We need a world full of fanatical, radical Christians that will stand up and say, God, I'm willing to do whatever it is you want me to do. God, I'm willing to be whatever you want me to be. God, I'm going to go your way. I'm not worried about convenience. I'm not worried about things going my way. God, I want to do it your way, whatever you have me to do. No matter how hard it might be, I want to be that radical Christian. I want people to look at Mike Bell and say unashamedly, that guy is hardcore. That guy is a fanatic for Jesus Christ. And if they want to laugh at me, I don't care. If they want to make fun of me, I don't care. God, you're the only thing that matters. And so, Lord, I'm praying for this church. I'm praying for a church full of radical, fanatical, hardcore Christians right here in this place. It's going to change this community for Jesus Christ. Because, Lord, I know that's why they're here. I know that's why you put this church in this place. It's to change this community for Jesus Christ. So my prayer this morning, Lord, as we come to the end of this time together, as we have this time of invitation, Lord, if there's anyone here that's not saved, Lord, if there's anyone here that's not a Christian, if there's anyone here this morning, Lord, and they've never prayed the sinner's prayer and said, Jesus, come into my heart and save me, I pray, God, you'll give them the strength this morning to come and to say, I want to pray and invite Jesus into my heart. So, Lord, this is your time. This is your invitation. I pray you'll take it and use it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing a song of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, I invite you to come as we stand together and as we sing.